America has undergone drastic changes in the last 60 to 70 years. Most of these changes have not improved America. Indeed, most of the changes Americans have experienced has created many serious problems. One of the glaring issues America faces today is the absence of fathers in the home, in their children's lives, in the church, and in our communities. Now, let me be even more specific, friends. There is a great need for men to be men today. And by that, I mean men as defined by a biblical framework and understanding of what the Bible says about manhood. After nearly 40 years of the constant secular beatdown upon fathers generally and men specifically, America is reaping a whirlwind of devastating consequences. How important is the role of father in the family? How vital is it that men understand what the Bible says about manhood and the roles and responsibilities men must assume? Stay tuned for my conversation with Jeff Bankins about biblical manhood in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to us on Global Star Radio Network. That's gsradio.net. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can hear us on Talk America Radio, that's talkamericaradio.us, Sundays at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're on the Worldview Weekend Radio Network, that's worldviewweekendradio.com/radio, on demand there, on The Objective, on Spreaker On Demand, the Prepper Broadcasting Network, that's prepperbroadcasting.com, Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Tuesdays at 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're on the Fringe Radio Network as well, fringeradio.com. That is on demand. My guest today is Jeff T-Rex Bankins. Jeff is a born-again disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He ministers to groups through a presentation of amazing strength exhibits and the gospel message of salvation through faith in Christ. Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio, Jeff.
Mike, thank you so much for having me. I have listened to your show for a long time, and I'm really excited to be able to share this information with your audience, and I appreciate you having me here today.
Well, blessing, and we've tried to do this for a while. I look back now, and in fact, we were chatting a little bit before we went on the air, and realized that it's been probably a year since I first found out about you, and that was through a mutual friend of ours, Garth Kennedy of Like Flint Radio. So I'm pleased that we finally have this opportunity to chat on Soaring Eagle.
Me too.
So Jeff, you've developed a presentation and a study on the topic of biblical manhood, and I was very, very pleased. You sent me the material to look over and to review. Very excited about this material. Now, you've actually presented this to your church with the full support of the elders and the pastor there, and And I think this is a subject that our listeners, whether you're male or female, I think this information is very valuable and important. And I'm hoping that our listeners will contact you to receive this information. How about giving contact information, Jeff, your website or where they might contact you at?
Well, one way they can contact me, of course, is on my website. It's Jeff, J-E-F-F, T-Rex, which is T-R-E-X, Bankins, B as in boy, A-N-K-E-N-S.com. Again, that's Jeff, T-Rex, Bankins.com. That's basically just an introduction site. It gives contact information of other types, like you can leave me a message there, or it can it'll also give you my email address. And by the way, my email address also is T-Rex, T-R-E-X, Power Events, the number one, at gmail.com. Again, that's T-Rex Power Events, number one, at gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook and YouTube. So I can be contacted in any of those ways, and I don't like to have messages sitting there unread, so I do respond fairly quickly.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jeff. So as we begin our conversation today, Jeff, let's explain for our listeners, first of all, why is it important for them to understand manhood from a biblical perspective? Why is that important?
Well, Mike, knowing your role in life, whether you're a man or a woman, is one of the first things you must know if you want to fully experience life the way God would have you do so. So the first thing you got to do is, besides realizing you're a man or a woman, is what does God expect of me in that role? And I just know from the way society is changing and the way we're being taught through media and other means in this world, that people are definitely trying to confuse and mix the roles of man and woman as God would have us live out those roles. Does that answer the question?
It does, yes. So that's why it's important. How are you going to live a life that is impactful and effective if you don't understand a basic definition of what that means? Now, how would you, Jeff, how would you define manhood? That's the first question, and then part two of this question, defining manhood. Then let's move into what are some characteristics that define godly manhood. So define manhood first, and then let's move into what are some characteristics of manhood.
All right. Well, basically, biblical manhood is this: God expects the man to be the leader of the home. And that's whether you have family yet or not. And to do that, you need to first be a Christian. You need to be saved by Christ. You need to study the scripture. And another thing you need to do is to follow the advice or the direction that Paul gives us in Titus chapter 2. And what that does is teaches us to mentor others and be mentored. And another thing you got to do to fall into the role of manhood is have other men walking beside you that are other Christian men, maybe in the same stage of life you are. Like, you know, I have a young wife and a 4-year-old child. Some of the men that walk beside me are also around that same age and have, you know, wives and young children. You know, so in other words, you need to study the scripture. You need to have a prayer life and a regular communication with God. And you have to have other men around you that will not only lead you to where you need to be going in life, but they will walk beside you to make sure that you don't go right or left in the wrong direction, staying on that straight path that God sets before us. And then you need to have younger men that you're reaching out and spending time with, whether it be your own children or other young men around your work or even in your church, that you can mentor and help bring alongside you and behind you, because that's the way God has us grow the church and grow new men, is by mentoring others.
Yes. Yep. Very good. So, folks, first of all, let me summarize what Jeff has just said to give you a good foundation for where we're going in this conversation today. The goal of understanding who you are as a man, biblical manhood, the goal is to learn exactly what God expects of us and what our roles are supposed to look like in society, in our families, and in the church. Now, when we're talking about biblical manhood, here's why I believe, Jeff, and you can correct me if this is not a proper perspective, but the reason why it's important to understand manhood from a biblical perspective is because we live in a society in America in which many of our young people today, they're not growing up into manhood. They are, in fact, they seem to be stuck in a period of adolescence, and they behave as if they're adolescents. And I'm talking about men that might be 25, 30 years old that are not behaving as men. Now, Jeff, would you say that's a fair statement today, or is that inaccurate?
That is a very fair statement. And now, of course, there are some men that don't fall into that category, but society-wide, I would say that's exactly where society's at. One way to look at that is that people are getting married at older and older ages. And also look at how popular video games are among adult men, which blows my mind. And I would like to also point out that in many ways, I was one of these men that was kind of in an extended adolescence. And I really didn't want to be there. It's as if I was stuck there. But as we'll discuss, I'm sure, later, God brought some men in my life and some ministries in my life that helped me to come out of that, because I sure didn't want to be stuck there. Yeah. But you know, I guess if that's all you know, it's a comfortable place to be in, because, of course, that's all you know. But if anyone else is like me, they know in the back of their mind and in their hearts that extended adolescence is not where you need to be. You need to figure out how to be a man.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. So let's run down through some of these characteristics so we can really put some flesh and some muscle on the bone of what it means to be a man, to live a life as a godly man. One of the first characteristics is your relationship with God, and you pointed that out. And what that speaks about is faithfulness, isn't it? We need to be faithful men as a primary characteristic, don't we, Jeff?
You got to be faithful, and all that is consistency in the right direction. It doesn't mean perfection. Nobody is perfect except Christ, and he, of course, is our greatest example. But, of course, we need the Holy Spirit to help us, and we're still not going to hit the mark. But if we will be consistent in growing in our Christianity and our walk of faith with God, if we'll be consistent in trying to grow in the different areas of our adult life, and if we'll just continue heading towards that mark that God set for us, that we could find out about through his word, we will achieve manhood and we will be consistent in that. And that includes faithfulness, whether somebody's with you or not. You know, if you really want to see how faithful you are, do you behave the same way that you do around other Christians as you do when you're by yourself?
Great.
And I would say you also, some of the areas we're looking at as far as being faithful in service to God, that means what are you doing in your local church? How are you helping the kingdom of God grow? Faithful in service to your fellow man, because none of us are an island. You know, we have other people around us that God wants us to build relationships with and do what we can in our own small or big way to help them. And then, of course, we also have to be faithful in our marriage, and whether we're married or not, in our other relationships, whether that be other people at church, family members, friends, or even, I would say, people that you don't know that you come across, you need to be faithful to them as you would to somebody you know, because you never know when God's going to want to use you to reach someone for him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yep, sure does, Jeff. And being faithful then, as you are faithful in your relationship with the Lord, as you are faithful in other relationships that he brings to you, whether it's marriage or in the church or what have you, that really speaks about discipline, doesn't it? And so is that a separate characteristic, or does that flow out of faithfulness, being disciplined in our life? Jeff, what do you think?
You could say, or I would say actually, that they go hand in hand, because you begin by trying to be faithful, but as you grow, that will turn into discipline. And so in that way, I would say they go hand in hand. And that's not just in your Christian life. That's in every area of your life. You need to work on being faithful and being disciplined. And while, of course, we won't hit the mark every time, people will be able to see that we are different because of these characteristics. And then we'll be able to tell them it's not because of me. It's because of what Christ has done for me. And then that, of course, leads to sharing the gospel or encouraging someone in their maybe their weaker faith or what have you.
Yeah. Okay, so we've kind of sketched out a definition. We've talked about the importance. We've touched on a couple of characteristics. Now let's touch on this subject, Jeff, of mentorship, or of being an influencer. I think that's one of the areas that we sometimes neglect as men, or fail to understand the importance of influence, whether we accept the fact that we are influencing people or not. The truth remains that other people are observing us and how we go about our business, or as the phrase goes, how we take care of our business, or how we live our lives is the point. Other people are watching us all the time, and especially as men, whether you're in a marriage or in the church, people are observing you, and you are an influencer for good or bad, aren't you?
You are, Mike. And what I didn't realize was until I started working on this and kind of bringing this program together, I got to talking with the youth pastor at church. His name is Kent Shepherd. And what I found out was he's an author. And anyway, he pointed out to me that as I was explaining what God had done in my own life by bringing mentors to me that helped me. And when I say mentors, not all of them were Christians, but each one of these men that God put in my life pointed me into different directions of how to be a man, whether that be faithfulness in marriage, whether it be faithful with the job and the money God gives you to, do life with, whether that be in raising your kids or any other area of life, including my Christian walk. God put these different men in my life. And what I didn't realize was, until I talked to our youth pastor, Kent Shepherd, that's actually from Titus 2. And, while I'm a student of the scripture, I didn't realize that was in there. And then I was able to include that in this presentation. And Titus 2:7 actually says, show yourself in all respects to be a model, that's a mentor, of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity. And then it goes on. But in that one chapter, the men and women are told, you need to be influencing other people. Okay, now, some Christians do have wives or husbands, and they have children. Some don't. But all of us can reproduce spiritual children by following what God teaches us in Titus chapter 2, which is to have mentors to help you figure out where you need to go, to have colleagues, whether it be at work or in your personal life, behind you, helping you go on that straight and narrow path. And then, of course, disciples who you are leading to become the man, or not really become the man you are, but use you as an example of a godly man so that they too can achieve that one day. And actually calls it the cross of influence. You've got disciples below you. You're in the middle. You've got friends beside you. And one side is your work life. Other side is personal life. And then you've got mentors ahead of you. And basically, that's just an easy depiction of what we're told to do in Titus chapter 2. And what I was saying earlier was I didn't even realize this is exactly what God did in my life. And I knew he put those special men in my life to help me become who I am today and who I'm going to be tomorrow, Lord willing. But to see it in the scripture and to see that it has been there for, 2,000 years or so, just blew my mind. That God did exactly what he said he would do in this word. And, you know, I discovered it later, which was really, really special to me.
Yes. Amen. Well, Jeff, men, as we think about this subject, it occurs to me that, this is going to be a very general statement, very broad brushstroke, folks, but it seems to me that men, they have a tendency to have superficial friendships as opposed to our wives or women generally who seem to be more capable of having intimate friendships. But the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. That many times men don't want to be sharpened in that way. They don't want to open themselves up to either to a mentor or to disciple others. They're just not. And I don't want to say that they're not capable. I think maybe it's that men generally are not trained in this direction. Is that a fair statement, Jeff?
Oh, you're exactly right, Mike. There's nothing wrong with opening yourself up as long as you do it to someone godly that will not use that against you. And that's basically what I thought these men. There's a few very special people in my life that know all of my garbage, all my dirty secrets, all the terrible sins I've committed in my life. But they love me anyway, and they're never going to use it against me. And the way you have men like that in your life is you first have to be showing yourself to be a friend. You have to build relationships over time. And then you've got to be willing to be vulnerable. And I guess everybody thinks they're, like John Wayne pretended to be in all the movies he was, you know, the law and tough guy. But that's just a fairy tale.
Yeah.
We all need someone or someones in our life that can help us, that can encourage us, and that can call us out and call us to correction when we need to be. Yeah. You know, one of the men I talk of, it's funny. One of the men that's one of the closest friends I have, if the world looked at us, we'd have nothing in common. You know, he's not the same. How do you say that? I guess he's a black guy. I'm a white guy. He's got kids and grandkids. I have a 4-year-old. He's not able to work because he was injured on the job site a long time ago. And the world would have us hate each other, especially with the racial tension going on in our country at this time. But you know, there is nobody that my wife trusts me with more than this man. And I can't tell you how much peace that brings to a relationship when you can go out of town at odd hours, and it's usually for ministry stuff when she can't go with me. That if I call, it's fine. If I don't call, she knows I'm going to talk to her eventually. And she's not worried about what I'm getting into because I'm with one of these godly men that, is walking alongside of me. And he's very important. He's a confidant. And God will definitely give you those kind of relationships if you will do your part in becoming a godly man and mentoring others and being mentored by others. He'll do that for you. That's what he did for me, and I'm definitely nobody special.
And the Bible actually says quite a bit about that, doesn't it? About the importance of a confidant. There's a number of scriptures that talk about this, and there's actually a number of biblical examples of men having this kind of friendship and encouragement, confidants. For example, Jonathan and David. That's the first one that comes to mind.
And that's the greatest example, Mike. When you read about these men, you know, David had hundreds of wives and concubines, and apparently he wasn't very close to many of them. I wouldn't think from the way I read the scriptures. But I would say him and Jonathan had such a special relationship. It appears to me anyway, that the only relationship held higher to those two men is their relationship with God. And I have that kind of relationship with the man I was just talking about and some of the other men in my life that God has blessed me with. And it's something that is only brought about by you doing your part to strive for biblical manhood. Otherwise, you're not going to have the right kind of friends come in your life because they're not going to want to be confidants with you if you're not at least striving for manhood, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure does. Then you have Aaron, you have Moses, you have Elijah and Elisha. The scriptures, I mentioned one, Proverbs 27:17 earlier, iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses from the enemy. Now, I've used that one before in a lot of different contexts because there are a lot of folks today that will try to cozy up to you as a man, and they'll use flattery to do it. But your true friends will tell you the truth, even if it happens to be a little bit upsetting or to set you back. They're going to tell you the truth. That's a true friend, isn't it, Jeff?
That is a true friend. And that same guy I was talking about earlier, his nickname is Buster. I know there's some young ladies I had treated wrongly, or at least one I can think of right now. And he called me out on it. I repented. I apologized to the young lady. And I really believe if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have been prepared to meet my wife later. And one thing I realized, we kind of did a debriefing or what have you after the conference. We had quite a few single men there. What I didn't realize is that I did not talk enough in that particular instance to the single men. So I would like to hit on that also.
Sure.
What I should have told them, which I knew it. Some of my friends that were at the conference knew it. So I guess because of that, I just didn't see the need to say so. But looking back, I should have. If you're a single man and you want a godly wife, you don't go looking for a godly wife. You, at least in my case, and I know that, like I said, I'm nobody special. No matter how lonely and miserable you get sometimes, you've got to let God work on you and help you to become the man that your future wife, if he blesses you with one, would want to be with and would want to see as her leader. Because if you don't, marriage can have its own struggles and issues anyway. But if you're not both properly in your godly roles, you're going to have even more problems. So rather than getting into something that you're not prepared for, let God work on you. Let him make you the man he wants you to be. And then I believe he'll make you ready to meet that woman that you're going to marry, if that's what he has for you. And I just wanted to touch on that because it's fresh on my mind from our debriefing we had last week.
Yes. Yeah. So to summarize where we're at so far, Jeff, what we've discussed so far, a godly man, first of all, is faithful. He's faithful to the Lord. And then he is faithful to those relationships which the Lord has given him in this life, whether it's marriage or other family members. And that then naturally assists or encourages a disciplined life. A godly man is a mentor. He's a leader. He understands that he is an influencer, that other people are watching, and so he strives to be a person of integrity. He looks for opportunities to disciple others. And then finally, you touched on the fact that men need a confidence, someone, another man that can hold them accountable, that they can talk to about things. And I think that summarizes where we're at so far. Is that?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We've got a lot more to talk about, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Clean Foods for You is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our stringent quality controls and absolute zero GMO and testing for heavy metals makes us unique in the storable foods market. Try our products today and join the many others in discovering the best clean foods available in the storable food market. Order online at www.cleanfoodsforyou.com.
Dr. Mike Spalding has hit a home run with his new book, #MTPGA, Make the Pulpit Great Again, 12 Things Christians Can Do Right Now. In Make the Pulpit Great Again, Dr. Spalding has addressed some of the gravest ills plaguing the American pulpit. Only through a policy of complacency and compromise adopted by the nation's pastors has the once great United States ceded the moral high ground and set the standard for the rest of the world in pornography, addiction, privation, and the murder of untold millions killed in state-sponsored, taxpayer-funded abortion mills. The words in Dr. Spalding's book contain the secret to restoring this country to her former glory. For if we are ever to make America great again, we must first have a national call to repentance by our church leaders. We must make the pulpit great again. Available on Amazon and other retail sellers.
Hi friends, Works LLC is a manufacturer of custom-made holsters, mag carriers, knife sheaths, and accessories. Works is your one-stop shop for high-quality inside or outside the waistband concealed carry holster. Works LLC is a Christian and family-owned and operated company that values Made in the USA. They are a proud sponsor of Soaring Eagle Radio. Visit Works LLC, www.werkz.com, works.com, and when you do, tell Shan that you heard about them on Soaring Eagle Radio. Works LLC, 855-937-5901, 855-937-5901, Works LLC. Hi, folks. Thanks for checking out our sponsors and telling them thank you for supporting Soaring Eagle Radio.
Again, on the Confidant, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're, and Mike, I'm sure you can attest to this, whether you're just a layman in the church, Sunday school teacher, or even a pastor, you need somebody that you can talk to besides your spouse. You need another man because that's what God directs us to do.
Yeah.
And it's good for those other men to be able to help you. It helps everyone when we are real with the right people that God puts in our life. And we have to strive for biblical manhood, like we've been saying. And when you do that and you open yourself up to those certain men God puts in your life, he's going to not just help you grow, you're going to all grow.
Amen. Amen. That's a very good point. And let me speak to the men that are listening, Jeff, and they've heard all this and perhaps they're saying, yeah, but I feel like I'm an island. I feel like I'm all by myself. I don't have anybody to turn to. And maybe you're a pastor. Maybe you're listening to this and you're a pastor, you're a Bible study or ministry leader of some kind, and you feel like you're all alone out there by yourself. What would you encourage them to do, Jeff?
Mike, they have to have somebody they can reach out to. I mean, I can't talk to everyone, but I would be glad to at least let them unload a little bit and pray for them that God would bring someone in their life. But I mean, you're going to have to do something that will get you in contact with other people. And I can tell you what happened for me. If we get into this later, I'll discuss it further. But I had a lot of problems in relationships and other things growing up. So, I was definitely not prepared for manhood. But what God did was he brought me first to, I think it's called Living Waters. It's a ministry for people who have had some type of sexual brokenness or sexual issues in their life to help you find healing. And once I did that, God healed me from some stuff that was in my life, and I realized where some of my issues came from and originated. And then once we finished that, God brought me to a 12-step program, and I went through the program first. It was a Christian 12-step program based on the Bible, not based on the, like AA or NA. They say anything can be your higher power. Our higher power was definitely Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is you need to be involved with another group of people in some type of ministry, and through that, I believe from what we're taught in the Word, God is going to put some people in your life that will be able to either mentor you, follow you, or walk beside you. And again, if they just want to unload, I mean, they could feel free to contact one of us, something like that, possibly. At least we can help them give some direction. But my basic answer would be to figure out some type of ministry or group you can become part of that will allow you to start opening up to other people. And if you'll do that in a biblical sense, God will, I believe, bring those men in your life.
Yeah, you've come close to touching on it. So why don't we just go there? You've got a testimony, a very powerful testimony being delivered. You just barely touched on it. I'm wondering if you're comfortable in doing it, if you would share your personal journey and testimony, because I think folks need to understand that what Jeff is talking about here, this isn't just academic kind of stuff that he's, you know, pulled out of the scriptures and created an outline to go and teach places. These are things that he learned along the path of living his life and going through some very troubling times. And so the Lord has given this to Jeff from experience. So what he is sharing with you is born out of a real life of a man. And when he says these things are important and to focus on them, he's doing so from experience. So, Jeff, would you like to share a little bit about your testimony and what has brought you to where you're at today?
Sure. And, you know, as you see in my notes, what I was reminded of first in this study, the first scripture, which I would say kind of sounds like a cliche, but I do have an idea of where Paul is coming from. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chiefest." Now, I am not the chiefest of sinners, but when you listen to where I came from, you could see why I could identify with that scripture. I know what Paul meant when the Holy Spirit inspired him to write that because of my own journey. And it basically all started when I was a young child. I grew up in a church-going Christian home, and I'm the oldest of my parents' kids. But our home, while happy looking and normal looking on the outside, it had a lot of issues. And there was fighting and other things like that. And, you know, there was a lot of bad things that happened. But there was one specific incident. How much of that do you want me to share?
Okay.
One night I was laying in bed, sleeping, and I was wakened all of a sudden. And the two adults that I was with at the time, I'll say this, they were doing adult things about 2 feet from where I was. And it's so weird when I think of it now. Even though I was just a child, I didn't actually understand what was going on. At the same time, all of a sudden, my eyes were opened, kind of like when Adam and Eve took of the fruit in the garden, I'm sure. It was something like that. You know, my eyes were opened. And from that point on, I had a hard time not thinking sexual thoughts. And of course, like I said, I was a child. I didn't know about what that stuff was. And I would like to point out that I don't believe the grown-ups meant to any ill intent towards me. They just made a terrible mistake. And that's the reason why one of the reasons I share this is if you have young children in your home, be careful about what you do around them, because you don't know what kind of effect it'll have on them. But anyway, from that time on, I always remembered the sounds, the smells, and then the terror and fear that gripped my heart. And it was at that time I became aware of women in a sexual way. And from then on, I was unable to look at especially grown-up women without these terrible thoughts going through my mind. And over the years, that led me to become addicted to pornography. And it got so bad, Mike, that I even visited prostitutes, got into drugs and alcohol to actually mask the pain of the pornography addiction. Because, you know, a lot of people are addicted to that. It's so easy to get to these days. But really, you're kind of stuck in that stage of childish adolescence when you're addicted to that stuff, because a real biblical godly man doesn't even fool with those kind of things.
Right.
Yeah. That's all I could think of nonstop. And gosh, from 6 years old to my early 20s, I was trapped into that that terrible world of all those thoughts, and different things happened along the way to just get me into a deeper and deeper hole, including at times I was around some other grown-ups that thought telling me dirty jokes and saying lewd comments about women when they weren't around was a funny thing to do. And all that did was add fuel to the fire. And actually, I got into college, and that's when the addiction was taken to the level of drugs and alcohol and prostitution. But after many years, I finally hit bottom, and I was saved, but not yet healed by Christ. And I would say it took probably 10 to 12 years to really find healing, not only from that first incident. That was just the start of things. Over, you know, that, gosh, probably 15 to 20 year period, I had done so much and had so much in my mind and in my heart that was wrong and sinful, and I knew it the whole time. It took 10 to 12 years for me to get right. And during that 10 to 12 years of trying to get right, first, you know, get right with God and to defeat those addictions, which I do want to tell people, if you battle any kind of addictions, just because you've defeated it does not mean that those things don't still pull at your heart, because that's, you know, something you're tested or tempted by. And I still struggle with that part of it. But after many years, God healed me. And while I still do have moments of weakness, I don't have the addiction I did years ago. And through the godly men the Lord put in my life, through several ministries and many years of hard work and sacrifice, I'm finally free of those things, and I'm able to share with other people not only my story, but to let them know that whether you're in the grasp of pornography, drugs, alcohol, or anything like that, that God can free you from it. Because I can tell you, I was in a deep quagmire, but I'm married to a godly woman who loves me. She knows all these things about me. She even helped me put this information together. And she loves me in spite of myself. And I'm a father, and I'm healed today.
Amen.
And one of the reasons, yeah, that's why I want to share this, because I know that I'm not the only one out there that has these struggles, and I want other people to be able to find healing, because if they don't, they won't be able to become the godly men they need to be to lead their wives, their children, and those that are around them.
Yes, yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, Jeff. It is, pornography is the number one stumbling block to men, and increasingly statistics say, Jeff, and perhaps you're aware of this, but statistics say that even women now in increasing numbers are becoming addicted to pornography. And when we say addiction, folks, we mean addiction. There is a chemical transformation that happens when you subject yourself or are subjected unwillingly. There's something that happens in your brain that triggers something, and as you subject yourself more and more to this, you can actually become addicted to pornographic images. Don't you think, Jeff?
Oh, that's definitely true. And you know, like you touched on that, it's growing increasingly more and more popular, I guess, or more of an issue with women. And it's weird because women's brains and minds are wired different than men's, so they're not normally mentally or otherwise stimulated by pornography. But I would say it's because there's so much of it, and there's so much of it that's not necessary in what might normally be an otherwise good television program or something like that. It's all filled with pornography or sexually charged images, and we're surrounded by it 24/7.
We are.
And it's a terrible issue. And you saw some of my statistics. Yeah. And this comes from a book called The Fight of Your Life by Tim Clinton and Mark Lasser. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
According to some of their statistics, 54% of pastors viewed porn in the last year.
Wow.
When they wrote this book, and this book is just a few years old, maybe from 2015 or 16.
Wow. That's just, to me, that's stunning. But I think it's probably accurate, Jeff.
One of the most popular, the most popular day to view it is Sunday. You know, and it's terrible.
It is.
50% of church-going men have sought it out online. And what I think, too, is some of this could actually be higher, but there's this many people willing to admit that they have these issues and these problems.
No, that's a good
because
point.
It's so pervasive in every area of culture.
Yeah, yeah. The evil one, our enemy, the enemy of our souls, has really gotten America, and maybe not just America. This might apply to most of the civilized world, certainly Western civilization. But the enemy has gotten us to a place with technology that every place we turn, whether it's on our mobile phones, televisions, print, it doesn't matter. There are sexually suggestive images constantly flashed before our eyes. Now, this is, in my view, Jeff, this is a deliberate attack on the souls of people to try and ensnare them in sexual deviancy. And I think what we see in America today with all of the activism with the LGBT, the transgenders, transsexuals, and even you could throw in transhumanism.
Yeah.
I think it's all a result of this saturation, this very pervasive power, it's everywhere, of pornography.
It really is, Mike. I mean, you can't get away from it. And what always surprises me is people are so seemingly shocked when people get busted for child pornography or sex trafficking. But that's what we're being fed day in and day out, unless you filter your life by not looking at those things. I mean, one of the most popular TV shows is Game of Thrones, and I read an article about it. I've never watched it, of course, because I can't handle that kind of stuff. I don't think anybody can, truthfully. But the directors or producers of the TV show wanted an actress to have a sex scene with her real-life brother.
Oh, my.
And of course, she didn't go for it, but you have those kind of people making TV shows, and I'm sure they're not alone.
Right.
And those two guys are moving on to the Star Wars universe now, from what I understand. So it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And I think what it all boils down to is the enemy is doing everything he can to destroy the family, because the family is God's basic unit of not only life but church life.
Yeah.
And the leader of that family is supposed to be the husband.
Yes.
And if he can take down the godly men before they become Christians and before they become men, then he doesn't have to worry about the rest of the family, because it's going to be messed up already before it even starts.
Very true. Well, here's a novel idea, guys and ladies. Here's something that you can try. Now, it's not as hard as what you think, because my wife and I have already done it. Just get rid of the television, unplug, and just don't have it in your house. Now, to some of you, that may sound like a radical idea, but I'll tell you something. My wife and I, Kathy, we arrived at this decision not to have television in our home for the very reasons that Jeff and I have been discussing. The constant barrage of sexually suggestive pictures, commercials. Even, of course, I wasn't a television viewer anyway. I was more inclined to, if there was a sporting event I wanted to watch, I would do that. But guess what? You couldn't even get away from it on ESPN or something like that. You're watching one of the late afternoon sports information shows, and guess what commercials they've got on there? Victoria's Secret. Seriously?
Right.
I mean, they're targeting men. And so my wife and I just made the decision, listen, we're done with this, because I don't want to see it. She doesn't want to see it, and so we just unplug. We don't even have TV. So guys and gals, try that out. If you have an issue with that, what Jeff's been talking about, and you understand because that's you, get rid of the television, and I think that you'll be much better off. Now, you've still got a lot of work to do. You still have a lot of work to do, and Jeff's already said that, to be delivered from that, but start there. That's a good place to start, don't you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so, Mike. And actually, in my own life, a long time ago, I got rid of cable television.
Yep.
And I did not have an antenna. That way, if I wanted to watch a movie or something like that, I could, you know, get a DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
And really, the only television we watch is internet TV. It has less commercials, and usually you can find something decent. But I'll tell you what, even that is getting harder and harder to find. But part of the challenge is to get it away from your eyes, because your eyes are the window to your soul and to your brain. And this stuff, see, God made us, and we can find this all in the scripture. He made us to be attracted to our mate, our wife or husband, in a special way that we would only have that type of relationship with them.
Yes.
But each time you open yourself up to pornography, you're having a skewed relationship with each of those actors or actresses that you're watching. And so if you ever do get married, you're bringing all these other broken relationships into your marriage. And if you don't get straight, you're going to have trouble with your marriage for the rest of your life. And if you don't have a godly marriage, you know, if God so blesses you with that, or even if you're single and you have these issues, you're not going to be an effective witness, because you're going to have this sin that you're dealing with in the back of your mind. And, of course, like I said, one way to start is to get it out of, from your eyes. But you also got to work on getting spiritually free from this stuff too, because in the 12-step program, you could have what was called a dry drunk or a dry alcoholic. That's basically someone who got rid of the alcohol but didn't do anything to have change in their life. And so they're basically an alcoholic who hasn't drunk. Mm. And you don't want to be a porn addict who hasn't watched pornography. You want to find true healing from that stuff. Yeah, and you know what? It doesn't take a day or two to get in the position you may be in if you're addicted to this stuff. So it's not going to take a day or two to get out of it. Even if you're not a Christian yet, once you become a Christian, or if you already are a Christian, you still have a lot of work to do. And I can tell you, God will make it worth your while, because not only will you be free from that stuff, you'll be able to share how you got free and what God did with you to other people, whether it be on this kind of platform or whether it be one-on-one. You know, I've been able to, blessed to be able to do it both ways. But when God takes all your mess and then frees you from it, and you're able to share that with other people, it is so rewarding. And again, it helps build kingdom.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, again, folks, you can reach out to Jeff. You can contact him on his website. What is the website again, Jeff?
JeffTRexBankins.com.
There you go. And he's very, very good at responding to you. If you have questions, if you want somebody to talk to or pray with you to or maybe you've decided, listen, this would be a great study to do at my church. I'm sure Jeff could help you out in that. So contact him there at the website that Jeff gave, and I know that he'd be happy to help with that. Jeff, I appreciate you being on Soaring Eagle Radio. What we've described today, I think, is clearly the truth that we live in a world that is constantly fighting against the idea of biblical manhood. We live in a world, a society here in America that, in fact, tries to really marginalize the importance of men. And so I appreciate people like you, Jeff, that have stood up and said, wait a minute, the Bible presents a very different picture of what it means to be a man, and it starts with faithfulness to the Lord, because it is His desire that we be faithful men. in our families, in our churches, in our communities, and that's the assignment that he has for all men. So, folks, if you're listening to this today, and you've said, "Well, wow, that's me. I've got some work to do," then I want to encourage you to pray. First of all, pray and ask of the Lord to change the direction of your life, and he will do that. And then I want to encourage you to reach out to Jeff and say, "You know, I could use some of those materials that you talked about for my own personal study." Jeff, you'd be happy to send those to them, wouldn't you?
I sure would. I'd be either happy to either do that, or if they wanted to have some type of conference, either way, you know, we just want to help people however we can.
Amen. Well, Jeff, thank you again for joining me on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio, and we will stay in touch, and maybe we'll have you back on soon.
That'd be great, Mike. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.